Hello, this is Angelo Stralupa, CEO of Positivity Coaching, and you're listening to my podcast.
Well, welcome to this series of conversations. And actually, before we got started, we were on a very interesting point about conversations. Yeah. And this series is all about that, us getting to know each other and to the point where I hope in the future we'll be able to get together groups of us and have conversations about different topics that are important. And one of the things I'd like to start with is by you introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about you as a coach.
I like a lot the theme about conversations and would like to expand on this topic. However, to start presenting myself, I think it all started when I became aware how much I enjoy conversations very early. I found out that this is something that's very important for me, to getting to know others, to explore explore and observe, and somehow through a conversation being able to create a space where they can also explore what's important to them. And for me, getting to know what works in someone who might be different from me. So that shows that shines a light in things that in all the possibilities. And I think this is somehow through the years what gave me an inspiration. When I started, so to jump quickly into my short bio, I can say that I have about 3 decades of business experience. I had been working in the private sector, so I know a lot about management. My academic studies include an MBA and a master's in psychology. For the last 14 years, all I do is coaching. So I coach and I train coaches and I mentor and I supervise.
Right.
And, of course, I have a number of credentials. I'm a master certified coach by the International Coaching Federation. I have also got the new advanced certification for team coaching by the ICF. And I'm also an accredited supervisor by the European Mentor and Coaching Council. So a number of other credentials, but I think these are the more important ones. Before the pandemic, I had been traveling around the world. Wow. And so I have been, I have attended a number of international conferences and spoke some of them, written and edited a book, which is called The Coaching Guide, and a number of other things that we have done together with the associates and the partners. And I would like to include that I have trained coaches in 130 countries, and my clients include corporations, but also international organizations like various UN agencies and so on. So that, in a nutshell, is
the professional
mindset regarding coaching, yes.
Mm. Tell me a little bit about your philosophy of coaching.
Well, first of all, I think that coaching is very important to organize conversations, as we said earlier, conversations with ourselves to increase our capacity in thinking, become better thinkers about what is important, and become better thinkers in the by finding new ways of thinking and opening up our minds into the world and to ourselves as well, and to the people that we are connecting with.
Yeah.
Coaching is also important in the conversation with others. Coaching is very important in dealing with challenges and reaching goals. And I think coaching is becoming more and more powerful in the sense that you now can find it almost everywhere in corporations and organizations, and changes the way that people relate to each other to some extent. There's still a lot of things to do, but yeah. I think people are becoming aware that there's a different way of relating, and to remind ourselves, especially in organizations and corporations, 10 years ago, for example, the words that you could use in the organization to assess, to make an assessment of employees was very different than the way that it's been done today. For example, and I don't know if that's true where you are, Jude, but I would assume, but you could tell me, that this is true for many countries around the world, that 10 years ago, you could not say that someone is vulnerable as a good thing.
Yeah, wait. Indeed.
But now you can say that these days this is a requirement.
Would you say then, Achilles, that we are in a space where we're heading into new territory with our conversations?
I think so. If you reflect on what was the situation just 10 years ago, you don't need to go further back in the past. I think if you think about what has happened the last 10 years, I think it is a great deal of a change in the way that we think, in the way that we act, and how teamwork has been organized, and how people are achieving goals in organizations and corporations. What do you think?
I believe that's true, but I mentioned to you in our pre-talk a concept of attention that I'm feeling. I feel as if it's not all smooth sailing. I feel as if there are countercurrents that pull us back 10 years, that trouble our conversations. And as we think about the philosophy of coaching and the role that conversations have to play in that space, I wonder, like, from your experience, are these countercurrents as strong as I think they are, or is it something that we can push through?
You are right. And you are right. But I think if you go back in history, and for example, whenever someone reminisces of old times, they say, oh, the 60s, oh, the 70s,
right,
these were good times. People were fighting for civil rights and so on. But if you really dig deeper, you will find that there were people who were fighting for the good cause, and there were a number of people who were opposed at the same time. So I think throughout history, this is always true.
Right.
There are always countercurrents.
And how do what? As someone who trains and prepares coaches, what's are the kind of distinctions or the kind of tools you think coaches need in this moment? Because I think it's a moment, as we discussed, of, you know, I don't want to get all preachy, but war and pestilence, and there's a lot going on in the world. We're geographically separated. It's not as, you know, we touted travel as being so easy, and the world got smaller, and suddenly it seems we're in cubicles.
You are right. Again, Jude, thank you very much. And it seems like we think alike. And there's so much that we can do. And I think this is making our profession even more important. To go back to your question and try to make a quick link with what is my philosophy of coaching, there are a big number of things that I could say. But I think, first of all, we all stem from the basic understanding of what is coaching, that ICF and how ICF has defined it. I think the way that we practice it might be different. The different theories that may inform that might be different. And there are a number of different things here. I think the way that we at Positivity Coaching are in our company are doing this is to putting the emphasis on the intention,
right,
the framework, and competencies. You are very important, of course, but the intention is also very, very important. Why are we in the coaching business, or why are we in the business of loving coaching? And what do we want to achieve by that? I think because everyone has something in their minds and their hearts that somehow characterizes the different nuances of how we are delivering coaching and what we are trying to achieve, and how do we inspire people, how to engage in the conversations when they are open and modeling openness and creating trust and psychological safety, for example, as opposed to manage by fear, which was the paradigm a few decades ago. That alone, it's changing the scenery. That is a very big difference, to go back to our earlier conversation.
Indeed. As we bring people into coaching, are we looking for something special in the people who come into coaching? You know, there's a whole thought pattern built around the talent that's necessary to be a coach.
So you're not talking about coaching clients, you're talking about coaching trainees.
Trainees, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, usually you want to address people who you think are the right fit to become a coach. And so usually you have some prerequisites, and we do have in our academy some prerequisites for people that are considering enrolling in training in one of the coaching and training programs. That is a minimum of age, relevance in their academic studies, and we also are trying to, which are a little bit boxes.
Right.
And on the other hand, we want to keep in mind that we don't want to box people. And I think that's one of the things that we are seeing in coaching.
Yeah.
It's a challenge. Yeah. Sorry.
It's a challenge in itself to go through that process.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge. And on the other hand, it's very important to find out what's the intention of each person who's coming to the coaching. But there's a responsibility there, because I think you need to make clear what is your intention as you're inviting them into the coaching academy as well, right?
Okay.
And sometimes you want to create that space so people can bloom and unfold and perhaps sometimes even find out what are their inner strengths and the things that are so much important to them. And that there are sometimes when we are not always very much aware of the things that might resonate with us. So we need to get to be infected a little bit, if you allow me.
I like where you're agreeing with that. But infected with what? Tell me a little bit more about.
Infected with a love of coaching. So I think that's having some rules for enrollment. It's very important, but it's much more important to have the rules throughout the coaching training and giving them all the different opportunities and ways and different frameworks through which they can understand experience better and understand and develop themselves intentionally.
And where do you see the space? We said before, I mean, we need a lot of coaches. We need a lot of conversations. Perhaps tell me a little bit about the space that's like the most concern to you at this moment. Where do you see the greatest need, let's say?
The greatest need or the greater risk?
Well, I like both. I like, okay. But let's go with the need. Let's go with the need in terms of your students go into the world. Where would you like to see them go? What space would you like to see them move in?
The space in which they will be liberated from their ego. They are not coming to tell people what to do, but they are willing to become more aware of who they are and how they walk in the world, and become more aware of what is the influence that they might be dealing with when they are having a coaching conversation. And that might be something important, but I think it's also a prerequisite to understand what might be the influence that their coaching client might get from their side and from the coaching process as well. So we want people who are what they call, we have a beginner's mind.
Right.
Come open, are willing, come with good intention, an open heart. And people who are not looking for shortcuts.
Right. You mentioned, because as you said that, you mentioned, you brought up the word that I like to grab onto that thread, risks.
Okay.
Yeah.
The risk would be if you allow people who think that coaching is the way to accumulate power so they can influence others. That might be a risk, because coaching is a strong methodology, is a strong tool, if you allow the word. You don't want this to be used by the wrong person for the wrong purpose. So that might be the case. But through our coaching training, we are eliminating this risk, because we are made with the way that we train people and the methodologies there and all the theory and the philosophy that we are trying to instill is, and how we like to inspire them and to invite them. And that it only works through the right way of practicing coaching.
The right way of practicing coaching. I want to go there. The right way of practicing coaching. That sounds, you know, we established, you know, the point of view of need of acting in the world in a way that creates possibilities through conversation. We talked about these countercurrents that might get in the way, but they've always been there. But what do you see as the expansive, I want to push it a little more. What do you see as the expansive possibilities of new technologies, new spaces? You've been in coaching for a while now. You've been to 130 countries doing this. What do you see as the possibilities going forward? What can we Where can we take coaching?
I heard that you put an emphasis in technology.
Yeah.
So is that your interest?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'd like to hear your vision there.
I think if you go back in the days of how coaching started, I think it started by the use of technology.
Okay.
So the first training school used technology, telephone and fax those days, and group calls. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And I think one way or another, we all have been blooming because of the technology. I can only see that technology is always relevant. How people are doing the things that are important to them, and how people are connecting with each other. And, so I would say that we will always be there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't fear, some people might have a kind of fear of technology. I could go again back to the intention. I think if we are mindful of the intention and what we are trying to deliver, then technology will find a way to serve that purpose. Sorry.
Interesting. I want to take our conversation in a slightly different direction to ask a question that I ask everyone. What do we need to coach human beings today?
What do we need to coach human
beings today?
Is that
the most general sense that you can take that question?
What makes the day different from yesterday for you?
For me, makes us human today, you know, we have, whether we look at it in terms of diversity, inclusion, belonging, that has brought us into a new space in our relationships with each other, for example.
Mm.
Or we live in a world that is far more immediate. You know, I always reflect on the fact that I remember when my dad would come home, the only time we'd discuss what happened in the day was when we'd sit down and watch television together. We'd sit at his feet and watch the news. Or the newspaper, when an incident happened, we'd wait for the newspaper to publish it. Other interlocutors would decipher and show us what information is important. Today, as human beings, we are flooded with immediate information from all over the world in a constant stream. So whether it is in the material realm or the realm of our interconnections with each other, how we relate to each other, or in that space of how we manage information, I think human beings today have a totally different response time, a totally different thought pattern. The way we receive and process things and use that to interact with each other has changed so much. I think that, even in the last 10 years, 20 years, so different.
Yes, and I think that you painted the picture exactly, Jude. So thank you very much. I think we want to take all this under consideration, and because the parameters that you described are the things that are creating the challenges that usually clients need to manage through what we create together. We create a space for reflection, for pause and reflection, so people can get a little bit offline, if you like,
right,
to think about what it means for them. How do they react? What is the me to make to support their own selves to do a conscious meaning-making process?
Yes.
and understand what is the impact of all that are happening, the immediate information, the social media, whatever is happening around the world, and how do they impact their own way of thinking, their own way of feeling, their own way of sensing, and especially since she brought the diversity and inclusion, I think that's also one of the parameters. And I think it's good that today's community with ACTO and ICF and the other organizations, we take these things very seriously, and we want, and because we are making it more apparent, more visible that these values are important for us, and we want to be those who are raising this, who are keeping this flag high. And I think that's important. And I think we have a responsibility towards ourselves as professionals in the professional community of coach trainer organizations, on the one hand, as civilians, yes, of course, and as coach practitioners, of course, and as people who are just holding conversation with a friend, to keep this in our minds as well, that these things are important. And sometimes it becomes more important to bring this into the conversation because it's what is, it's part of the big picture. Sometimes we need to navigate into the what we call the VUCA world. We need to take all these factors under consideration. So I think it's important. Coaching is more and more important. Coaching is important in to understand how we are, in to develop our capacity, our quality of thinking.
Yeah.
Into how we hold our conversations and how to grow and reach our goals. So, and it doesn't matter whether you're having a face-to-face conversation or a screen-to-screen conversation.
Yep. Indeed. Thank you so much for making this time to meet with me and to meet with our other members of ACTO virtually. Yes. And we hope one day that we'll all be able to get together in physical spaces again with comfort and the joy of sharing what we do.
Thank you. And I hope so too. And I thank you very much for inviting me. And thank you very much for the questions that you offered me, because it allowed me to experience my love for coaching.
No. And thank you for sharing it. Yes.
This is Angelo Stralopas, and you can listen to my podcast on Spotify, Apple, and Google.